seated. Well, if you will, take your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 16. Tonight, with communion, I'd like for us to look at a pattern that we see in our church, and that is a pattern of growth. And tonight I want to look at the reality of growth. That Christ died for us, that He shed His blood for us, that His body was broken for us, is clear from the New Testament Scriptures. But what is equally clear is that within that death, burial, and resurrection, there is a life that we are to live. In fact, Romans 6 tells us that we are to walk in the newness of life. And as such, there is opportunities individually, and then collectively or corporately as we gather together. Tonight I want to read a couple of verses down through verse number 10 of Proverbs 16. I want to set forward for us some explanatory notes of who and where we are as we start the year and what the year we think may bring forth in an operational sense. This is not a Sunday morning message, and it was not the first leadoff message of the year. When I stepped in for Brother Mike last week, Mike Flick, to preach, I knew that this was actually the message I want to start the year off, but with a missionary here, we should preach on missions. And so I'd like for us to start with this as our thought this year and then put it before the Lord as we remember His death for us. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, by the way, Proverbs 16 is a wonderful chapter. All of Proverbs has wisdom, but it particularly has a heavy dose of practical wisdom over and over. And I would strongly encourage you to come to it, and this chapter particularly, read, study, and live by it, and you will be successful. The Bible says that says this in verse 1, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes." Don't we know that to be true? "But the Lord weigheth the spirits." In other words, He knows how we think. He knows what our motivations actually are. Verse 3 is going to be a key for us tonight, along with a couple of others that I'll point out. But it says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." It doesn't matter how many stand against the Lord. God is in control. Verse 6, I think, is especially acute for us as we come to communion at the end of the service tonight. "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. One last verse for our reading. I could read the entire proverb. It is wonderful. Down to verse 20. The Bible says, "He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." Father, help us this evening as we gather as a family. Have a time of direction, and I believe instruction from you as to who and what we ought to be doing. But also as we remember who we are and what you did for us. I pray that we would not just marry the two thoughts together, but we would see and understand that they are linked. What we do and who we are tied together. It is called the Christian life. Bless us this evening, I pray, as we look at corporate matters that should unify us and direct us. Bless all that is said in this hour, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 12 months ago this week, we began a series of small group meetings to plan for a building. How many were in those meetings? Raise your hand real high. Don't be ashamed at this point. You had to endure those hours. So did I. All right, good. Prior to that, for 2 years, we sought to purchase other properties to accommodate growth. When the body and blood of Jesus Christ are preached and promoted and practiced in the lives of believers, then growth in the Spirit is the natural result. It will happen. For 2 years now, we've been exploring right answers for how we can grow. This is a Sunday night crowd. If we were to do this on a Sunday morning combined, compared to the last 3 or 4 Sundays, we can no longer get everybody on the parking lot and likely in this building. I've never had a particular vision or a course of action that we must do, but rather a plan and move forward biblically and intelligently within the possibilities that we in leadership and we congregationally see. So tonight I want to edify the body on some practical matters as we tie them to the principal matter, which is Jesus Christ, what we're all trying to be about as a church family. I don't have an outline for you, though I have one for me, and there's a lot of 18s on it. We'll start this evening with our 18-year purpose. You say, well, we're not 18 yet. Well, we're almost there. I just got to get to August and we'll be okay. And plus, everything else works around 18, so I needed an 18. Here it is. So if I had notes to hand out to you, it would say 18 years so far, all right? What do we say is our purpose here at the church? You can answer this one. It's Sunday night. We're a little less formal. What is our purpose? If you have a bulletin, you can flip over there, and I wouldn't encourage you to cheat in church, but you can at least read it to me. What does it say? We exist to glorify God by... I sound like the Swedish chef. What does it say? We exist to glorify God by... making nachos on Sunday, by making disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love others, one another, and intentionally share the gospel. Great job! You did wonderful! You see why then on a Sunday night to begin the year, I want to refresh our memory as to what we're to be about. We do not exist for your fellowship. We do not exist for my own vanity. We do not exist so that we can really have a cultural impact. We exist only to glorify God. And as a corporate body, we do that by making disciples of Jesus Christ alone. Our purpose, we might say, then, is focused. It's focused in 3 ways: upward, inward, outward. When we say glorify God, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31 that whether therefore ye eat or ye drink or whatsoever ye do, do what? All to the glory of God. The context of that, by the way, is going to lead us into that statement of glorifying God in every way of our life, is going to lead us into 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, which we will read in a few moments when we gather together in communion. So contextually, there is a process of glorifying God that has got to be at the forefront of our thinking when we consider who and what we are as a church. The second thing that I would remind us of in our purpose is that we are to grow in and by God's grace. That is the inward focus. There is a grace that God gives to us at the moment of salvation. There is then a grace that God gives to us every moment from salvation. And there is a grace that awaits us when we are at home in heaven and glorified in our glorified state. When we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we then grow by grace as well. The writer of Proverbs here tells us the preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. There is a motivation within us that is both glorifying to God, but is filled with grace from God. Certainly, verse 2, I hope, is always true, that all the ways that you engage in your life are clean. But remember that God is the one that is the reviewer of all such motivations. The inward growth by grace is dependent upon you. And you say, well, I come here for you to teach me. Well, that is important. And teaching in a public setting like this, of an auditorium or in a ladies' meeting or a men's meeting or a Sunday school class, those are all very important times, including this one, where we are challenged from the Word of God. But ultimately, growing in grace individually is on you. All I can do is point you to the truth. I can put before you the truth, but I cannot make you do that which is right or true. And then, of course, by the church body, we would say that we grow by God's grace. He does not owe us growth. We owe Him obedience, and when we obey Him, He blesses us. And that has been our purpose for, lo, these 17 and a half, almost 18 years. I think a third thought under this is from that purpose statement of ours, is that we go about trying to generate good. We are not to be going around stirring up trouble, but rather being a benefit to others, doing good. We could say that there is purposeful good, there's practical good, and there's provable good that we are to go about generating in this world. We say in our purpose statement that we make disciples, those who love God. Well, making a disciple is a purposeful action of us. We want you to be grounded in truth. We want you to understand and know the truth. Practically, we enjoy fellowship together. I thoroughly enjoyed yesterday. I was embarrassed. God bless Ken and Lydia and Jason and Jolie. They put Jessica and I on the front row. We're Baptists. We're not used to sitting on the front row of anything. Poor kids behind me had to stare at Pastor's bald head. I did not want to be rude and say, no, I can't sit on the front row. Somebody else should sit up here. It was very gracious. The point is that as we look at it, folks in this church generally look out for the good of one another. That's a blessing. We care for one another. I would imagine if Paul were writing an epistle to us as a church, I would say that he would commend us for our care for the saints, for one another. And so we have effectively then continued to accomplish what our purpose is. And this year should be no different. We should focus on the upward, which is glorifying God. We should focus on the inward, which is the grace of God. Not just being real, but being practical in our lives. And we should focus on generating good within the household of faith, as Paul wrote to Timothy, but also to all of mankind. How can we practically go out and do that which is good? These are the core tenets of our church, and they have led to growth. That's the reality of the thing. Well, this is what led our thinking in 2024 and in 25 to begin to expand. We have followed Proverbs 16 and verse 3, where it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We began by committing our works unto the Lord so that our thoughts would be established. And so we, within what is our purpose, set out to build. And that leads us to a second point, the second 18 today. That is our 18-acre property. It will be a beautiful building out there someday. I promise. It will be highly beneficial to the cause of Christ. Let me give you three things that we know about that property as it stands today. One, we have a completed development plan, and Pastor falls to his knees and puts his hands up and screams, "Hallelujah!" It has been a year getting a development plan through this stinking county, through this wonderful county that we want to minister. Remember, generate good. I have lost more hairs this year. No, I'm kidding. It has been a journey, to be sure. We filed our PDP, preliminary development, in February of last year. In our county, it has taken us almost a year to get this approved for design, signatures, and sign-offs. And the sign-offs were being completed on Friday, and I think there's one more to finish on Monday, and then it will be approved in February. 12 months to the day, it will be approved. Here's the point. What we met about and showed to you last year, we love the design. Did you not like that design? Don't you think that's a wonderful plan for us? We anticipate building all that we have prepared at the appropriate time, as I said back in early December, late February, late November, early December. When it's appropriate, we will do that. Having completed those development plans means we do not need to go back and hear the neighbors' complaints. And there were many, weren't there, Zach? There were. We will no longer need to deal with bureaucracy. I've been asked by someone, Pastor, if we're sure we're not going to be able to build right now, why are we still getting that development plan? And those that work at Denham Blythe, like David Graham and Stuart, they can tell you exactly why. Because once you get that plan completed, it's good for at least 10 years with only minor architectural changes that may need to be added. We do not have to go through that litigious process again. To that I can say, amen. So be it. It gives us, secondly, a clear direction path then. We always wish for things to be done in an instant, don't we? We have instant coffee. We have instant pots that make noodles very quickly for us. That got me through college, by the way, an Instapot. But we want everything done now or yesterday at the latest. It is the culture and world that we presently live in. Yet the Bible tells us that we commit our works unto the Lord, and we let then our thoughts be established by Him. What I have hoped for and what I've asked God for is clear direction on what to do, never wanting to risk His presence, His power, or His purpose to be done in us and through us. This church is a testimony to the greatness of God. Amen. Pure and simple. So the meetings we held in January of last year were inspirational. They were aspirational and they were informational. That was my intention. My hope and goal was that we would build on the 18-acre property. After a year, however, of working towards it, we realized that the short-term path to growth is not to build a building that would cripple us with debt. And that ultimately became the guiding influence. We are not going to hamstring the work of God by telling God what we want, no matter how bad we want it. Rather, we've chosen to plan, save, and to continue to grow the work here. A 10-year window on the development plan gives us plenty of runway to save and to build that property appropriately. I have the perfect example in my own life. When I was a child growing up, someone gave the church that I grew up in 38 acres, maybe 33 acres, on what was going to be the major connector that Fairfax County, one of the richest counties in the country, was building between Interstate 66 and Interstate 95. The Fairfax County Parkway connects it. And somebody in that church gave to Fairfax Baptist Temple for $1, 33 acres of prime real estate. It was easily, back in the 80s and 90s, worth $15 to $20 million, likely, just in pure value. And yet it took them 10 years to make the appropriate plans, make the appropriate moves, and have the appropriate funding to make sure the church was not crippled or hamstrung in the process. In other words, in my own life, I've watched how that played out. I remember as a little boy going out there with our church, with our family, with the church family, playing softball games on the field in the middle of the wooded area, and hoping and wishing and looking and seeing. And God grew the work and grew the work and grew the work until it was the right time to build. A final indication, by the way, on a clear direction path for us is of God's directing is that this building has had zero interest in it. Now, this seems like an interesting building to me. I love it every Sunday I come in. I love it every Wednesday night when I come in. I love it every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday when I come into the office to do work. But it doesn't seem like anybody else is very interested in this building. I talked with our realtor. They're going to be taking the sign down here in the next couple days or weeks because I said, have we heard anything from Thanksgiving? In fact, no, we have not. Well, what is the problem? And he said, well, he goes, the sewer connection is the biggest problem. Everybody wants this property, by the way, but they only want the front where they can maybe put a bank or a gas station out here where the septic field is. And we just, one, can't sell it to them because we kind of need that septic field if we're going to stay here. And so we've seen a clear direction that for now, there's just not a way forward on that. These are not bad things. These are just factual things. We'll get to the good stuff in just a moment. I have to clear the deck first. So with the 18-acre, having a development plan and having now a clear directional path, we should at least mention this on tonight, the current dollar position. I needed another D and a P. I don't know if dollar's the right one. We probably could say financial position, but there is no thesaurus that said financial had a D word with it, except for debt, and I hate that word. So all of the building funds given to the building out there will remain for building. If you gave to the 18-acre property and desire for that to remain connected directly to the property, I'd encourage you to talk to Brother Mark Woods. Mark, wave at us. Or Brother Brian Lawson, he's in the back counting offerings tonight. Shannon, you want to wave for Brian? All right, there you go. That's his missus. And so we now can say, if you want the monies you give into that to go only to that, that's your right. That's good. You can talk to one of those men to let them know. They will not tell me what you gave. They will not tell me the amount, but they will direct how much by February 15th needs to stay in the interest-bearing account that that money is in. All I can say is this. Our church is blessed with sacrificial givers in each of our homes. Your faithfulness both pleases God, and as a pastor, it truly humbles me to see what we are motivated to do. Our current picture is fantastic if we want to build anything less than $6 million. In the present age that we live, if we want to build more than that, we are right on a borderline, they keep saying. Which is fine. It's direction, and it gives us answers. We faithfully give, and we are financially disciplined. My friend, that's a recipe for glorifying God. Again, just in the practical matters, we do what we're supposed to do because we understand salvation, Christ, his body, and his blood are still the primary things. All of these other things are just ancillary things to make the primary thing work and to be successful. So in summary of this second point, we recognize all of God's blessings, and we do. But we do need to solve a fundamental problem. Anybody want to voice the fundamental problem we have? I'd love to hear it. What was it, Edward?
Space.
Right. The space race. That's what I've termed it in my own head. We're just plumb out of space on some Sunday mornings. Proverbs 16:9, a passage that we read this evening, says this, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Our primary problem is how do we sustain and strengthen our growth with what we have? That's a good question, isn't it? Here's how we see it as I've presented it to the deacons. We are in no decision-making mode yet. I'm just presenting it to us corporately this evening. I would say this, we are deficient. You say, what? You made this sound wonderful. It is wonderful. But we are deficient for growth in our areas of parking, auditorium seating, and most evident to those of us on pastoral staff, that's Zach and I, for education of adults. We teach and preach on Sunday a.m. and p.m. and on Wednesday evenings, but any specialized and targeted training of life stage specific topics is non-existent. There's just nowhere to do those things. We lack the educational space to realize a core philosophical belief. How many of you know we have 6 philosophical beliefs that we have adopted as a church? I'm glad you read the documents we give to you. Zach's over here laughing at me. I don't know if we were talking about it in the office. I wonder who will know what we have. Number 1 and number 4 of our philosophical statements, and I'm going to now print these and give them to you next week. Number 1 says, we will provide instruction, exhortation, and encouragement through biblical preaching and teaching and godly counsel from the Word of God. The 4th statement says this, we will instruct and encourage believers to be maturing disciples of Christ. How are we doing that? Just on Sunday morning preaching at you? You say, well, that feels like enough. But do you actually spend time digging into the Word of God with a teacher in a small group? And the answer is, that's edification. What we do in here is exhortation for the most part on Sunday morning. What we do on Sunday night is somewhat edification, but boy, there's no replacing Sunday school class. How many in here remember when we used to have Sunday morning Sunday school classes? Raise your hand real high and keep them there. Okay, probably about 60%. We haven't had them since COVID, so you would have had to have been here before COVID to experience that, where we had a Sunday morning Sunday school hour. That's the last time we had it. I believe, then, that we can grow to be a church over the next 3 to 5 years of probably 450 on this property by taking number 3 and taking on an 18-month project. This project, and I'm only proposing tonight, this 18-month project would begin with letter A, or first, enhancing this property. You say, how would we do that? Well, I would make a couple suggestions. I suggested these at the Christmas dinner to the deacons. I've talked this through ad nauseum with the staff. Here's the 4 suggestions for enhancements to our current property that will cost some money, but will be money well spent. I have now consulted with the real estate agent who has listed this and said, buddy, if you do 2 of these, you will not only get your money back, you will be able to, if in the future you do decide to sell this, make more than what we anticipated. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. So far, we've not budged at all on it. But I think it's true because they have years of experience, this company. Here are the 4. Number 1, make a connection to the city sewer line. It's there. It's not right out there. It's either 1,400 feet that way or 1,400 feet that way. If somebody wants to take a stick and start witching, we could probably find where the water runs downhill and go that way. Number 2, build an education building on the current modular footprint, or at least where the modular building sits right now. Make it a larger space. Number 3, we can expand the parking lot after we've connected to the city sewer. And here's the wild one. We can put a balcony in here. Could you imagine that? Who would sit in the balcony? All the teenagers? Look at them. Look at them. David and April, too. Yeah. Scott raised his hand because we'd move that up there. We have worked now for 2 months these 4 ideas. We're not saying we would do these. What we want to do is present them to you and allow you to come to us, go to the deacons, go to the staff, and voice not just your concerns, but bring your questions. Because we do have to do something at some point, because the blood of Christ saved us and compels us to go and reach more people. And there's only so many multiple services we can do. We could probably do 1 more, maybe. I was trying to think through the other day that if we really need to start forcing some of you to come to early church, then how would I do that? That sounds like so uncouth, so unchristian. You and you, your number's up. You go to early church. I don't know how to do it. But I think there's a way that we can make it work on this property. Again, not forever. What we do not need to solve any of this today. We don't. Most of the work on many of these have been done. Let's see some of the pictures here, Alec, if you don't mind. This was the drawing done for us when we put the modular building and the parking lot expansion in 2021. That gray blob towards the bottom of the larger square gray blob, the larger square is this building. The one to the south of that on the picture is where the modular sits. Now, that's a huge building. We didn't build that in 21 because it was going to cost $500,000 connecting that building to do a fire suppression. What we're suggesting is keeping the building separated and building potentially an educational building. Here's where it starts, though. It starts with the sewer line. That's the next one. You say, where's that sewer line run? I'm glad you asked. It would be that blue line. Do you know how much a sewer line is going to cost us? Likely around $200,000 to connect. However, there will be returns on that, so the cost of it would be mitigated. The second would be an educational building. I think I have a big circle for that. Yes, I do. Look at these very detailed drawings. And what we would do is probably build, and I'll show a picture of that, very rudimentary. I drew it on a napkin, gave it to Wes, and then we put it on the screen, okay? I'm somewhat kidding. Obviously, this is much more serious than this. My point is, we don't need to fret over these things. What we need to do is commit our thoughts, make the right plans, and then let God direct us. That's what we've done at every step of this. We could build a 60 by 80 building. The one that's out there is 60 feet long, 24 feet wide. So think of it about 2.5 times bigger than the modular out in that same space. We don't need to do any grading. We don't need to do any. We don't have to even do development plans. We have them. These are approved. And so it's possible. The third step would be a preliminary drawing that we did, and that's the parking lot. I think that's the next circle. This would take us essentially to 144 parking spaces. That, by numbers, gets us to about 430 people. That's wonderful. Now where do we put all the people in the auditorium? And the answer is somewhere in here. You think, Pastor, how are we going to get people up there? Are we just going to throw them up there? And the answer is these two closets in the back are perfect for stairwells, we found out. We didn't know it, but they would just be just peachy for stairwells to go up and to come out. Come 16 feet off the back wall, and you got yourself a balcony. If we built it any further out this way, Scott could just hand me the batteries for my microphone from here if I needed to. Shake hands with them if we wanted. In other words, we've got a pretty good idea of how we would do it, even though it wasn't our original intent. All of this allows us to do the next two things before we come to our time together in communion. That is letter B, educating our membership. Our major deficiency presently is the ability to teach life stage specific topics. I cannot teach in earnest what I need to teach to young families, young parents, in a Sunday night, because there's a lot of you that are no longer young parents. I'd love to teach on marriage in the home to some of the young couples. I'd love to teach about what to do in your senior years to the prime timers. But if I teach that, then all of the young people tune me out. We don't have the ability to teach specifically, unless you all want to come Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, each night of the week, and we just make those your times of being here together. We can do that, but I would doubt that attendance would be as good as back to being at 9:30 for Sunday school on a Sunday morning. And so I came up with this ugly drawing. We would move the children out to an educational building, and all of the back of this building would now be our adult education space. We came up with this mainly because kids don't drink coffee, and adults usually do. And so, no, I'm kidding, that's not the only reason. The point is that we would be able to put them out there, have right and proper office space, take the current office space and expand the lobby, if we do this correctly, more space to stand and talk. Teenagers, I'm sorry, fellas, some of you ladies, we're going to lose the football field out there. It's gone. But it would be functionally, the playground will stay, so you youngins, the playground will stay, Jairus. Is that a good idea? Thanks, thumbs up. But the space is useful for us then. It makes sense, I think. It would allow us, letter C, to enlarge our impact as well. Evangelization coupled with exhortation, that is preaching, and edification, that is teaching the Word of God, was the pattern for success in the first church, and it remains the pattern of success for every Bible-based church since then. We have good news for the world, and we have good fellowship for the body, but we've got to find a way where, especially on Sunday mornings, when those new folks to us, those gifts from God that are called guests, come into our doors, are captured by smiling, happy, fellowshipping individuals. Not just those of us that are running. Sunday morning, here I'm. Okay, I made it for my hour. I'm back out the door. We need time to be together. I've pastored for 17 years, and I can tell you the highest rates of growth for us is when we have Sunday school on Sunday morning, followed by a Sunday morning worship. There is exponential spiritual growth, and then there is evident numeric growth. We followed that pattern. So how do I transition this to communion? And some of you are thinking, yes, how do you do that? Well, first off, this is all good news for us. And it's news that needs to be shared in a public family setting. And I don't have many opportunities to do that where I have you captured together. It is not the news we expected 12 months ago. That's okay. Because we know that God's blessing continues upon us. So we must continue to work within the reality of growth. Verse 20 of this passage in Proverbs 16 says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good." Do you believe that? I do. "And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." We are spiritually healthy. We are numerically growing. We are financially strong, and we are physically able to do the things that allow more of the same. That's a good thing. All of this is the management and ministry of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's what we're trying to do here. We are guardians of that faith today in our generation. I never want to become myopic on just building a building, but rather solve problems that allow for good and healthy growth. And so we must do this in unity. So tonight was a time for me to have discovery, as the legal teams might say. You now have all of the facts. Here's the good news for us as well. Our salvation is free, and the life that we live from it must be then lived in and by faith. This is an intensely practical way of doing that corporately tonight. Our faith then is a common faith. It is a constant faith. It is a committed faith. It is a faith that is in communion. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, a verse that we love so much. In fact, I read the first six verses this morning in church. Here's what verse 7, he says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And so we follow God as he leads. The treasure that Paul talks of in that passage is the gospel and all that Christ won for us at Calvary. The treasure is also the indwelling Spirit of God, who takes up residence because of the price paid by Christ to redeem our souls. The treasure is the life we have because of the life he gave. We are not talking about difficult things, delightful things, because of what our Savior did for us. He built the bond of family. His blood paid the price for our sin. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That means we're human, we're frail, we're limited. Many times we have our own inadequacies, yet God is the one who blesses in all things. Paul explains for us in that very verse why God chose to place such an infinite treasure in such a fragile container such as us, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God receives the glory. There's no room for human boasting at all. And God's power is perfected in our weakness. And sometimes that weakness may even be uncertainty as to which way to go and how to navigate. My hope on a night like this is to encourage you that God is always at work in our midst, and that his salvation is the cornerstone of all that we do at this place. It's everything we care to accomplish, and that is giving the gospel to the next soul we meet. And so encouraging the faith in our own life, strengthening it and building it up, so that we are able ever better to share the truth of Jesus Christ. The busyness of business is not a distraction to the gospel's work. It is, in fact, part of it. Don't believe me? Go read Acts 6. It's part of it. So as we come to the table tonight, the broken body and the shed blood of Christ remind us that we are to work, whatever that work may be, until Jesus comes for us. Father, help us this evening as we contemplate your blessings upon us, as we prepare ourselves for the year ahead,